Hello, everybody. Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And speaking of the timeline, if you are watching this on YouTube, the timeline will be broken up into different sections so you can jump straight to the story you want to listen to or watch. Speaking of the topics, we have some interesting things to go over. Particularly, I'm kind of interested in what this last half hour is going to be, but we'll see. So we're talking about stealing TikTok content, and we are then going to move into this whole Colton Underwood thing because he came out earlier this week. Then we are going to move into being in the bathroom with your significant other at the same time that they're doing whatever they're doing. And the last one, we're going to talk about the male G-spot. I feel like we're kicking it back to our old school days of Boys and Brunch with this topic.
Not old school days.
Off the chain. So that one is, yeah, that one's going to be interesting. But anyway, I'm Jared D. King, and I'm joined by my co-host Marcus Haynes and Dan Harris Williams. Hello, gentlemen. And we are also joined by a guest host, Eric Cole, who is the host of his own podcast, Hung Up Podcast. Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Brandon, Marcus, Jared. It is so good to be here. You guys look great. I see your videos. I see them on the social media. So the fact that y'all were like, hey, you want to join us for one Sunday is so cool. I'm happy to be here, and I'll come back anytime you ask.
Absolutely.
Love you guys.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. Thank you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what are you drinking today?
Wow. I'm drinking some Bullet. Straight. Chilled. It is chilled. That's the kind of brunch vibe that I'm feeling with you guys. Okay. As we get into some of these topics, I feel like I'm going to need a straight. So I'm
at least something with
my name is Eric. Right. But hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Eric Cole. I am the host of the Hung Up Podcast, which is a culture and society podcast that brings you content from a queer perspective, with a little bit of comedy, with a little bit of storytelling. I love the platform. And outside of that, I play tennis here in Philadelphia. I'm a 2-time Tennis Philly champion, and I'm also a business systems analyst. So I got that nerdy side to me as well. Okay. And you see a little bit of all that from my podcast. So that's a little bit about me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mama Shay is screaming at me. She wants me to always ask our guests their sign. So what is your sign?
I am a true Capricorn.
Capricorn. Okay, there we go. So thank you for that intro. Marcus, why don't you give us a quick update on what's going on with you and, you know, what's new and what are you drinking?
So this week has been okay. Haven't been doing too much. As you all know, I'm still on the journey trying to have a new vehicle. Hopefully, we're making some progress. So hopefully, you know, by the next time we come around and have a true blue update, mm-hmm. on, you know, what's happening with that process. But outside of that, just kind of normal life, which is kind of why this week I'm chilling just a little bit. I just have a punch that I made with my good friend Cardi.
Okay, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it looks like Brandon is gonna jump back in a moment, but as far as my own update, this week I've just been trying to figure out what I'm doing and what my trying to get some focus on, I guess, just what life is going to be for me moving ahead and for this brand and for, you know, I'm always in that space. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am mentally, but it's all been good. No complaints, really. I'm not going to complain. But y'all might complain because the drink that I have today is an Ache de O with a slice of limon. So
that looked like water.
Yeah, basically H2O.
that looked like water.
Yeah. What were you
now,
saying?
Come on, Marcus.
Eric?
You gotta at least give him a little bit. It looked like sparkling water. Sparkling water. Give him a little bit of credit, Marcus.
All right. It is sparkling water.
Thank you, Eric. So, Brandon, real quick before we start, why don't you give us a quick update? Let us know what you're drinking, and then we can jump into these topics.
I'm just fighting these technical issues today. It just will not work for me. I'm drinking tequila and a juice, just something simple.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. All right. So we have got this TikTok thing going on, and so from everybody like Charli D'Amelio kind of getting famous off of Jalea Harmon's dance with the Renegade, Addison Rae on Jimmy Fallon doing all the dances from mostly Black dancers. We've got a problem. Houston, we have a problem, you know? So I just want to, I think we've also got this one guy. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he's the guy who was like looking at all the foods and he was like sweating and stuff and was like, I'll take two of those and I'll take one of those or something like that. So let me just play this video for y'all real quick and show you this interaction on Twitter. So this is the original TikTok.
Sir.
Huh? Give me that fish.
Oh, it's already been sold, sir.
Give me the goddamn fish.
Okay, so that was basically, you know, when they do a duet or something, like, you know, that was the original guy on the left side and the guy kind of recreating it on the right. Then the next tweet was basically him explaining the video, saying that he's an actor and he was, you know, recreating it or something. I'm not going to play through that because it's just too much technically to get into. I want to run through this. But what do you guys think about this, I guess, this conversation that we're having about stealing TikTok content from Black creators? I would like to start. I want to start with Eric on this. I want to see what his feel on this is.
You know, fellas, I feel like this has been happening for a while. I mean, obviously TikTok is a newer platform and now we're seeing the recycling of Black material and Black content. But if we're being honest, this happens on all platforms and it's been happening for a while. And I think that this guy represents a large population of people out there that just take content and recreate it. We even see that a little bit on Twitter with the tweets. People will take tweets and literally retweet it to go viral, to get likes. You know, it's just kind of like being original is not necessarily where it's at these days. It's like, really, it's about who can get more likes, who can get more tweets. And I saw one video, this guy even said, like, don't be mad at me because I can do it better. And it's just like, you know, it's weird. It's really weird. It kind of reminds me of the, you know, how back in the day, white folks would take Black folks' music and re-record over it. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that. This video was missing. But it's like,
yeah.
We know who the original is, we know where it came from, because that's how tight his brand is, that we're that familiar with it, that this guy can come out, steal it, recreate it, but we still know who was the author and who it came from.
Right. You make a good point. And the thing that comes to mind is the whole Cadillac car thing.
Yes.
On Dreamgirls.
Cadillac.
yeah, that's exactly what comes to mind. But Marcus, I want to hear what I gotta say about this.
Honestly, a lot of what I would say, Eric kind of already brought it up, because it is something that happens a lot. It is something that we've been dealing with. People see something hot that somebody Black does, and was like, you know what, I can do that, and I can make it even hotter. And it's just like, no, you actually really can't. Like, you actually really can't. So I need you to stop, please. Please stop for your own good.
Brandon, anything to add to this? Because I do have, I don't know, I have a devil's advocate question to throw in here, but I want to get everybody's opinions on record first.
Not on record. Right? I don't have anything other than what they said. Maybe I'll answer the devil's advocate question first.
Okay. So basically, I want to know what is the difference between that and when we all kind of hop on a trend. Because we've had the Bus It Challenge. Somebody started that, but nobody's talking about who the creator is. We've had all these challenges that people jump into. And, you know, one person may be, you know, I feel like the circumstances are a little bit different because no one person in particular is getting known for that thing.
Yeah.
But is it really any different than that? I mean, is it just like, who are we? Yeah, go ahead.
But I think that's the big difference, that it's not one person. I think it's one thing if like,
okay, hold on, Brandon. Hold on. We lost you. Marcus, maybe you can jump in on this one real quick.
Okay. What Brandon was going to say was that that is the big difference. That is, you know, this idea that, oh, no, one person is like making a name for themselves off of this, off the Bus It Challenge. Like, it literally is the Bus It Challenge. Everybody's doing their own version of it. Whereas you have something like this, or even something like when them people was on like Jimmy Fallon and stuff, like this person is getting like super accolades. Wonder by their own on late night television, doing the Busted Challenge, doing the Silhouette Challenge, something like that. Versus right. You have this person who is now getting all this praise, getting all this star power from taking somebody else's original idea and showing it on TV.
Okay, now I hear that. Now my question is, who do we place the blame? Do we place the blame on the person who recreated the thing without doing it? Because basically that's what everybody is doing. That's my thing. It's like, are we placing the blame on them, or do we place the blame on the situation or TikTok or just the way people are, you know? Because there are a lot of times where, like, I even know, like, this woman did a remix of WAP. I don't know if y'all heard that, but she's like, I got that WAP, that you know, whatever. Oh, it's like that one song.
Yeah,
so yeah, and I looked at it on TikTok, and she has like 300,000 views, but like there are other people who have like millions of views on their TikTok using her sound, and it's just, I feel like TikTok, on one level, their algorithm is screwed up, and I feel like on the other level, that it's just kind of how humans are. I mean, with the racial thing, you know, it's just like if you have a non-Black person doing something, they're just going to get, they have the opportunity to get a little bit more popular than the original person. And I just don't know whether that is the person. I don't know if that's the person who recreated it. I don't know if it's their fault, you know? And I don't know if you guys can maybe speak to that.
Right.
You want to try, Brandon?
No, I agree, Jared. I don't think it's fair.
Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, I agree. Like, I think it's more like, that's why I was bringing it to, like, try to focus on the system, right, that has existed for these people to participate in, right? And they're knowingly participating in that, and they're capitalizing off of it, just like people have done before them. So there's this culpable, you know, they are taking advantage of that. And I think when it comes to our content, I don't know, call me a little biased, but I feel like, you know how like FUBU back in the day was for us, by us. A lot of folks still stand by that, because at the end of the day, there's a history to the appropriation of our culture, and not in a good way. And we don't get credit for it. Like you guys said, they'll be the ones getting 300,000 likes. They'll be the ones getting the accolade and the views and the trophies. Meanwhile, we have created that, and we're getting pushed to the back. And I think there's a history and a culture to that. That's why it's problematic when non-Black people enter that space, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I can add to that, just to kind of address what you asked, Jared, like, if we were to place a blame, I think you can say something to the person who is like getting popular off of this, because this may just be the English teacher in me, but cite your sources. Like, It takes absolutely nothing to be like, oh, this came from that. I'm like, oh, you know, like original creator. Just like we have to push for people to tag the artists when people are like reposting like art and stuff. Same thing. Like, this is such and such sound. And honestly, I would say that TikTok kind of gravitates you towards doing that anyway, because at the bottom of every TikTok video, it's like, this sound is whatever, whoever sound it is. So if you are purposely going about trying to kind of erase that or trying to kind of separate yourself from the person who created this, you know, you're doing that intentionally, and that ain't good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I hear what you're saying, and I think, I don't know, I think I probably lean more towards what Eric is saying as far as it just kind of being like maybe when it comes to Black artists, we should have a little bit more discernment. I personally can't place too much blame on somebody just doing something fun and getting famous off of it, because that's just how the world is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like once you get up to that level, it's important to say, hey, make sure that you guys go and support the person who originally did this. Maybe, you know, maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I mean, you know, but the thing is, it's like nobody cites their sources. I hear what you're saying, but nobody does that. And so it's like, okay, so maybe we all should kind of take part in that. I don't know. But Brandon, is there anything else that maybe you wanted to say before we jump out of this?
No, I think if Mark is probably finished my thought, so I'll leave it.
Okay. Got you. Okay, so real quick, before we jump to our next topic, I just want to let you guys know to jump in on the Patreon. We do have our after show, and we have a Discord. We have some other stuff on there for you, so check it out at patreon.com/JaredDKing, or go to boysandbrunch.com, whatever. You'll find it. Links in the description. So next topic would be Colton Underwood. So he had an interview earlier this week with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, and he came out. He's known as the Virgin Bachelor, so he was on the show The Bachelor, and just recently he came out on the air. So everybody, once we first saw, not everybody, but a lot of us, when we first saw this, we thought it was a really sweet story. But some things came out.
I mean, along with
him. Already, you know, it came out, and he, even in the interview, he had apologized to his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Randolph. Now, I'm going to play this little TikTok that kind of sums up all the stuff. Marcus, I believe you shared this, so thank you for that. And then we're going to get into your guys' responses to this. Let me see if I can pull her up.
Cool.
Let's do this.
Here's Colton Underwood in 60 seconds. He's a conservative Christian ex-football player turned bachelor and was best known on the show for his virginity. Yesterday, he announced to the world he's gay and is getting his own Netflix show. Giving him this platform is problematic as it brushes over his abusive past. On his season, when Cassie told him she didn't want a relationship, he did not take no for an answer. They dated for a few years, and he published a book about his experience last March. Cassie broke up with him and shared that he was adding a chapter about their breakup to his book without her consent. She then filed a restraining order against him for domestic violence prevention. After the breakup, Colton continued to harass Cassie, sending her emotionally abusive texts telling her that she was a selfish person who didn't deserve love. He put a tracking device on her car and stalked both her and her family, and continued to send her harassing text messages pretending to be another person, as well as harassing her friends and ex-boyfriends. Last November, the charges were dropped, but since then, Colton went completely black on social media. He is now promoting a new clothing brand and contacting influencers. Coming out is not an excuse or explanation for abuse. Send this petition in my bio. Tell Netflix not to romanticize violence.
Okay. So that was her TikTok. So she basically ran down all the stuff that had gone on in a quick, succinct way. But I want to ask you guys what your initial reaction to this. Let's start with Brandon with this whole story. Let's see if we can get him on something.
Can you hear me first?
Yeah, yes, we can hear you.
It's a high-ass mess. Okay. I can kind of understand, even though I don't agree with
him being desperately trying to hold on to this relationship, if that is what proves to the public that you were straight since you were on this large platform trying to date women, essentially, whatever. It probably is like being desperate in the sense of trying to hold on to that, as you might not get a beard or whatever else again. But it still is like, just calm down. Like, it's not that deep. Like, the average person doesn't even know who The Bachelor is after their season. Like, it's fine. Move on with your life. Not an excuse, but of course, if he says he's coming out as he promotes, you know, his Netflix show and whatever else, you can kind of forget everything else. You know, like, his straight behavior is like exonerated almost, because now he's gay. He was struggling.
Yeah. So what do you think about that, Mark? You seem to have a pretty big reaction to that.
Oh, no, because it was the kind of the last part of what he said, like his straight behavior is kind of exonerated because now he's come out.
And I don't feel that way. I think it's public perception. So let me clarify that.
Yeah. But I do think that's an interesting idea that, you know, because I, nothing like that. I haven't been abusive, haven't stalked nobody, nothing to that extent. But I know I did some silly shit when I was still pretending. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, I get it. I understand why you did that silly shit, you know, because, yeah. But I think that there's a limit to the kind of, I guess, grace or whatever you can extend somebody who's battling their sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, if you out here womanizing, you out here lying or doing whatever have you, then okay, you know, we can let you have that. But if you stalking folk, like, according to that video, Sis said that he created a whole nother person trying to stalk this lady. Like, no, you did a whole lot. It's never that serious. You know, like, no matter how deep in the closet you were. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what is your reaction? Like, do you think that this was a way for him to kind of weasel out of responsibility for him?
Excuse me. I think that's very possible, especially he's, you know, a white man in America. So I think that's very possible that he could have used that. But I also feel like, you know, if he's coming out and he's being open and he's being transparent and he wants to put everything on the line, well, why not put everything on the line? You know what I mean? I honestly didn't watch the interview. Was he honest and forefront about the violence that he's, what was her name, Cassie? Mm-hmm. Casey?
You know, I didn't see the full interview. I saw like a clip of him like apologizing, saying, I'm sorry. It seemed to me from that clip that was basically, it was just a one line apology, and that it wasn't something that that he dwelled on so much. I will say, I don't know, but like based on what I've, like, I don't want to overblow this. And I feel like the video, I feel like it's slightly biased. Like, yes, everything he did was horrible, but I feel like there's a little bit of context missing. So, you know, there was, he was with his ex's family because he had COVID. And then, let's see, they broke up. And this is all last year. So earlier in the year, he was with the family. Then they broke up. And in May, there were posts about the breakup that seemed amicable. Cassie said, you know, we broke up, but we still remain in each other's lives. Colton said, thank you for the family for helping me through COVID. Then September rolls around and a temporary restraining order is placed. And then all the stuff that she had listed about, you know, the text messages and the tracker on the car. That all happened. Now, I did pause the video and I did take a look at what he was actually writing in the text messages. And it wasn't like, you know, the way that it comes off in the video is like, you know, I'm gonna, you know, do X, X, and X, X, Y, and Z to you or whatever. And it comes off as like threatening text messages where it's not necessary. She said emotionally abusive. Maybe I feel like it's one guy who's just unloading all of his emotions on somebody and just being really, I mean, and it's scary. But I think we have to understand exactly what's going on so that we don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? So this, he was not like violent in, I guess, I mean, I don't know if you can make that argument, but he wasn't traditionally what we would call violent. The stalking is really scary, and the texting and everything could be really scary. So I get that. I just wanted to put all of that into context so that we had an understanding that we weren't dealing with somebody who was super who was like way off the rails and to the point where it was almost she had to like fight for her life. It was not like that. It was just really scary. But it seems as though they are both in a good place now. And so that's the issue that I have. It's like, if they are both in a good place at this point, or at least to a point where neither one of them is really going through anything at this point, then I don't know. I'm like, yeah, what you did was horrible. No, you don't need a Netflix special after this. But I'm just like, okay, it's over. As far, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. Any reactions to that?
I wonder what the restraining order was for. And like, do we know what, it just seemed like a lot happened.
Yeah.
And I also heard some stuff about her life being threatened. I don't know if that's true.
Well, based on what I'd seen, it did not seem as though her life was threatened. And that's why, you know, I wasn't sure whether I want to even play the video because it seemed very much like dire. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like she was in a very dire situation and she was like, you know, had to get witness protection or something. And it wasn't quite that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And also on top of that, talking about the book and everything that, you know, she, if you're going to write a memoir, you don't need anybody's permission.
No.
So putting that in there, it doesn't really mean too much. It's just like you're just piling stuff on. So we kind of have to peel back and look at exactly what this is. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thing.
I mean, best man taught us that. but I did have a question. You said that you kind of like read the messages and it seemed like he was like unloading emotionally. Like, I don't want you to tell me like word for word, but just like, I'm like, what was the general tone? Like, what was he talking about, I guess, in the messages?
In the messages, it was more like, accusations of cheating and, you know, I know what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's not right. And it's just like when you're in high school and you have this one guy or girl or whoever that you break up with and they just text you endlessly. And it's like, what the heck? You know, it's like that. And I could understand that being really uncomfortable and really scary because you don't know how far this is going to go. So I understand her getting a restraining order, especially with the tracker on the car. Like, that's another level of threatening. But that was the gist of the messages.
So it's kind of like, so basically he didn't directly like threaten violence against her, but the insinuation was certainly there, especially with that tracker.
Checking where you are at all times. It's like, okay, so you're just gonna pop up out of nowhere and do what? You know, and it's like, you know, so I would be really uncomfortable and scared if somebody decided to do that to me and wanted to know where I was. So I completely understand that. I will say, I don't think he needs a Netflix special. I don't think that he needed to. I think if he was going to address this, you address this alone as a thing and address it completely. And if you want to move on after that, then that may be one thing. But I don't know if you get it all done in one swoop in one interview. I don't think that right. was the right thing to do either.
No. You know? It reminds me a lot of, I don't know if y'all remember this, but like Kevin Spacey did something similar. Like, it was, of course, with Kevin Spacey, it was way worse because he was like legit, like child abuse, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And he came out and was like, oh, well, I'm gay. And the people was like, grand. and it feels like a much lower level version of that is what's happening here. Like you said, Jared, like he's nowhere near sort of like what Spacey was doing, but it's still the same sort of like gist, like, hey, let's exonerate my whole record as a straight person because now I'm gay and I did all of this because homophobia, right, guys?
Yeah,
girl, no.
No.
Right. And I think that actually perpetuates homophobia even worse, because it's like you feel like the community has all of these horrific things that they can do on their journey to acceptance, and that's not the case. Like, no, you're trash.
You're trash. You could sit in that trash before and after, right? No, right. Eric, do you have any final thoughts on this before we move into our crazier topics?
Ciao.
I agree with the sentiments the last few of y'all shared. Like, it just seems like a lot happened, and then he goes, oh, by the way, I'm gay, and oh, by the way, I'm sorry for, you know, these allegations that are out there against me without fully addressing it. And, you know, if they're on good terms now, that's their personal relationship. At the end of the day, I just hope people are safe. And, you know, it does seem a little bit like he's taking this and trying to use it as an opportunity. Come forward, be truthful, and be accountable, hold yourself accountable without trying to make a check off of it. I think there's a difference between the two, and I feel like he's trying to get a check. Yeah. He's trying to get a check.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah.
One last question.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I was just saying, so if they're cool, shouldn't we be cool as well, or no? There's always like a difference between like the public perception and then like the person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not necessarily, you know, and I just want to clarify that my impression of them being cool was that she did lift the restraining order a couple months after. So I just want to make that clear. I don't know whether they're cool or whether they just have an agreement to not really, you know, be in each other's space anymore. And maybe he's just in a better headspace. But as far as that is concerned, I mean, there are a lot of people who still hate Jay-Z for it. And I'm like, okay, like y'all can hate Jay-Z, but he's, you know, he's cool. So
the man, like, let's move on. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult to say, like, oh, well, they're cool because, you know, folk in abused relationships. No, he's my man. I love him. Girl, he black your eye every night. What do you mean? So it could be like, it's kind of, if they're cool, we're cool. But at the same time, we're cool, but I'm watching you at the corner of my eye. So.
Right.
On Netflix. So there you go.
I can watch it on Netflix.
Okay. So let's go into this next topic real quick. Let me grab this tweet. Here we go, y'all. Buckle up. Okay, so here is the tweet. Let me enlarge this. Being in the bathroom while your significant other is taking a shit will never be cute, sexy, or any of that other stuff. Keep your shit to yourself. So yeah, that was that. And why don't we just put Eric in the hot seat on this one? So would you or have you been in the bathroom with your significant other while they were going to the bathroom?
It has happened where we've been in a rush, maybe we both needed to be at work at a particular time. And it was an exception to the rule, because otherwise, especially when I saw this tweet, I was trying to put it into context and I'm like, all right, it sounds like you're probably living together if this type of situation is happening. So if you're living together, my God, if the only peace and alone time that I can have is in the bathroom, why are you in here? Why are you in here while I'm dropping? You know how sometimes it's splash? Sometimes it's splash. Sometimes you make noises.
Uh-huh.
Why would you want to be? It's just such a... It's come on. Especially if we're living together, come on. I'm gonna need 6 feet. How y'all feel?
I'm with you on that one. You know, I'm all for being one, but there's a time when you got to be two, and particularly when you're taking one to two. So that's just me. But I'm curious, Brandon and Marcus, is that something that, I mean, because it seems like there's a thing about, you know, just having access or being in the bathroom. I don't know what it is exactly. Everybody that has responded to that tweet has alluded to it, to where it's like, you know, you have a significant other who's like clingy or something and just needs to be in your space at all times. I'm trying to understand where that comes from. But yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
I think for some, there might be a level of insecurity. And if this is like a personal private time, like a lot of us take our phones with us because our phones are always glued to our hands. So maybe that is the time to text or message or video or whatever, because you're in the bathroom. So I think some people, why they feel like they need to be in there. But if you're actually in there just going to the bathroom, no, absolutely not. Like, please leave. Like, I'm the type, I don't even like to go to the bathroom with other people, like, in the house. Like, I'm just weird. Like, I just, no. Like, let alone you in here with, what, this is a one person, like,
not even in, nobody else in the house even. That's funny. So basically, is it like a protection measure against cheating? Is that basically what you're saying? Like, if they're like texting, they might be texting somebody else, and so let me go see what they're doing.
People are that insecure. Yes.
Jesus, oh my gosh.
Just think about it, what else are you like alone if y'all live together, like in that context?
Man, I guess, I mean, so.
Yeah.
Marcus, any reactions to this? Or has that ever happened to you?
What time is it? I've pissed in the bathroom with the significant other before, but that's as far as it's gone. And it's a similar situation. It's like, we gotta go. And just
yes.
Exactly. But what else? Oh, my main reaction was to that whole, like, if you are that insecure that your partner is cheating, break up, please. Because y'all not gonna work. Go ahead.
But I love him.
No, you don't. You love the idea of him. The idea of him. But no, like, that's too much. That's way too much. Now I will say, like, especially because I talked about, like, I guess going number one together, you know, some of the people that may be a bonding experience, let's just say.
Okay.
That may be a thing that they enjoy.
I mean,
Okay.
I can get over splashes and noises. Mm-hmm. People normally have a smell. Like, it's the for me. Like, I should. You can have this all by yourself.
You know what?
I'm weak.
That was a good point, though. That was a really good point, though. We want to make sure, like Marcus said, we don't want to shame, like, people who are out here. There's a community out here who, listen, they're into it. They're into it.
I don't know that.
They are.
I don't know.
they are in deep into some shit.
Come on, Scat.
I'm not in that community. Yeah.
I just know me. I don't even like to go. First of all, I don't even like, thank goodness we're working from home. But like, when I was going into the office.
Never.
And sometimes you just have to go. I would always pick the, you know, there's like a private, like, handicap bathroom that we have. I would always just hop on in there because I'm not going to the one with everybody, people walking in. I can't. And I hate it when I go in and somebody else is in there doing what they're doing. And I got to get in and get out and try to hold my breath. But you can't hold your breath too long, because once you're out of breath, you have to take the deepest breath ever. And then it's like, it's all up in there.
What is happening?
So...
Because, like, I worked when I was in office, I was on like the top floor. So most people, especially at a certain time, they would come up to our floor to go. Mm. Listen now. we still at work too.
Well, what happens is like, even like me, I'm in the top floor of my house. So if anybody goes, you know how heat rises. So I have to make sure my door is closed. So if anybody goes to the bathroom downstairs, I don't want to, I don't want any part. I literally will stay in my room.
Oh my God.
Hold up. You can smell if someone goes to the bathroom downstairs?
Well, a certain person in the household, let me just say that. I'm not going to put them on blast. We're not going to go there, but...
Oh my God!
Hey, I'm
my God.
Bless you, tweets.
Bless them. Bless them.
Bless me.
Okay, so I see tweets where people are like, you know, you got to give... I'll get to go in the context of living together. You know, you got to give the bottom time to prepare, whatever, whatever. So, like, would you go in then? Is it then okay? Because you already know what's going on in there. Like...
Wait, when you're doing what?
When you give the bottom time to prepare.
Oh.
Give people some space.
But why would you?
I'm just asking. If y'all already live together, maybe you got to go there and do something too. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
that's the same thing for me personally. Just no, one person. That's a one person zone.
This is a one woman show, but no, like, why? I mean, I guess I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Look, if you only have one bathroom and you both have to do things that are like immediate, then I'll give you some I'll give y'all some leeway for that. But personally, we gotta have. Like, you, what are we doing? What are you doing? You're brushing your teeth while I'm taking a dump, really? How does that work?
I mean, it
gets in your mouth. It gets
oh my God! I cannot. God, next topic, please, my God.
Together, you should be used to that part of their body on your mouth, though.
Oh God. No, not like that.
I don't need that image. I eat at that restaurant. I don't need to know the preparation that goes behind it. No.
Goodness. Okay. I'm looking at these comments. I'm trying to see if I can get some of these comments in here before we move on. Focus says, I don't do public restrooms for numero dos. I'm with you on that.
Same.
I try not to. I don't think I have before, but I hope I never have to. But you know what I really hate is, and this is why I don't drink a lot of water when I'm like at the beach or something, because they'll have these restrooms like up on the boardwalk, or you'll have like an outhouse, and I'm not trying to be up in there. Because especially when you're at like a pool or something, there's water all over the ground because everybody's dripping out of it. So now you're like, what am I stepping in? When I'm in the bathroom at the pool or at the beach, you know what I'm saying?
Oh. But you're at the beach, go in the ocean. It's the ocean. Some of the salt. Go ahead.
No, you can't.
Just don't say that. I knew, when he said you're at the beach, I knew that's right.
You know.
Oh man. So let me see what else people are saying here. Brushing your teeth with booty crumb particles. Okay, Mama Shay. Yeah.
Mama Shay has been on these booty crumb particles since we started this topic. I just want y'all to know.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So no. I think we're good with that. I think we're good with that topic. I'm gonna jump into our final topic though, which I think will get a lot of conversation going. We might have to, we'll see how long this one goes, but let me share this one on the screen.
Lord.
1 second.
A semi-related topic, is it not?
It's just as ridiculous. The male G-spot is in the booty hole, so a man putting objects in their ass isn't gay, even if it's a dick. The true gays are tops, because they are willingly put dick in other men, ignoring the existence of pussy. So that's a lot to unpack. So I would like to start with the first part. Let's just break this down, because that just really got me like, what are we doing here? So is the male G spot, is it like he said, putting objects in your ass isn't gay, even if it's a dick. So where do y'all sit with that? Is that true or false? Eric, why don't you start us off?
That's the process.
I feel like, yes, putting objects or seeking pleasure, I'll say that, seeking pleasure from your G-spot does not make you gay. I agree with that. However, I don't know. I just feel... Well, damn, where you cross the... I mean, like, if it's a man attached to the penis, and that was... Like, I don't understand how that would not be considered gay. And if I get dragged, I get dragged. But I just don't understand, like, because a man can pleasure his prostate without another man. If you require another man present, and on top of that, you require an erect penis in order for you to reach your climax from another man or someone who identifies as a man. I think that's because look, we have straight couples out here where she'll put on that strap on and get him mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I get it. I get that these things can definitely exist because sexuality is so broad. You know, it opens us up to explore and do a lot. But I don't know. I just think when it's another man, it kind of like, you gay. Or at least you enjoy men. Like, you don't have to necessarily be gay, but there has to be a space for you to be like, all right, I may not be gay, but I enjoy men.
Yeah, basically. And that's kind of basic. That basically sums up my opinion of that. If another man is pleasuring that spot, like, the writing's on the wall.
Welcome to the family.
We can try to skirt around that as many times as you want to, but I mean, come on. And I agree that just, you know, pleasuring yourself or having your woman pleasure you or whatever in that spot does not mean you're gay. But I mean, if you have a penis in your ass, and I'm not even saying a dildo, but I'm saying you're putting a penis in your butt. That's kind of gay to me. Sorry. Marcus, are we basically all in agreement on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, pegging is a thing, so I ain't gonna say you automatically gay if something goes in your ass, but if it's a man, welcome to the family.
Right. Okay. So we've got that part down, but now we've got the second part, which I feel like is a little bit more controversial, because he says the true gays are tops because they willingly put their dicks in other men and ignore female genitalia. I'm not trying to say the word too darn much because I'm not trying to be that kind of, I'm not trying to be crazy, but you know what I'm saying. So is that true? Are the true gays tops? Marcus?
I don't agree. Because most dudes will fuck anything with a hole. A lot of people, well, I ain't gonna say most, a lot of them would do anything with the hole. So it really doesn't matter. So I find it hard to be like, oh, well, you're only gay if you're a top. Because that's actually against what most people say. Because you got to really love men to willingly allow them to stick their dick up your ass. Like, no, I can't. I can't agree with that statement.
It's just so funny to me because it seemed like, I only saw a couple. It seemed like the majority of people who responded to this tweet were like, you know, going up for it. Like, they completely agreed. And I don't see the logic when you really think about it. So, Brandon, why don't you give us your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't get it either because I'm like, women have assholes as well. So, like, if you fucking an asshole is what makes you gay, if you like, plenty of women are in anal sex as well. So I don't understand. It's just a lot. I don't know why it's always this thing of like who's gay versus who's not or who's really gay. Like, you like men, so you're gay. It's fine. Whether you're receiving or giving or both or watching or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You're somewhere on the spectrum. Like
watching.
Right. Yeah, I mean, true gays are tops. That kind of took me for a true gay. What is a true gay? Like, are we doing that? Who's a true gay and who's not? I mean, you really want to say bottoms are not true gays, even though tops try to treat us like that sometimes. I'm like, you know, it's just like, what kind of, go ahead, Brandon, what are you saying?
No, I would definitely say though that bottoms are the true gays though. Definitely like, Marcus was saying though. It's like, cause who's willingly doing that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's it. It seems pretty ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah. There's that. I don't know if anybody has any final thoughts on that. We do have some crazy comments here. Folks is saying that's a whole lot of love because baby, that's why I give and not receive, and I have a whole lot of this. Let's see. Oh, I think he's trying to explain the connected what the male G-spot is. Focus is saying basically when you jump over the table when the doctor is checking your prostate, that's the male G-spot. All right, I'm gonna leave y'all alone. You guys have any final thoughts on this topic? Eric, any last words before we close this out?
I don't know. I feel like the second part of the tweet was just for clickbait. It didn't make really any sense. Like, you're not going to strip away identity from an entire community. We get to set our own identities. And I think this tweet came from a very cis perspective, and it was very clickbaitish, and it really didn't make no sense. Like, I mean, it parts of it may work for some people, but it really didn't make any sense for me. No, honestly. Okay. And truly.
Okay, good.
The people are just talking.
Exactly. And that's why, and I don't know if y'all caught it, but there was a red blocked button on there that I just happened to see. I didn't know before I posted. I looked at it and I said, oh, he's blocked. So there are reasons for that, I guess. I don't know when I did it, but apparently we can see why. I would like to thank our guest host, Eric Cole, for joining us today. Why don't you let us know where people can find you online?
You at Hung Up Pod, or you can search hashtag Hung Up Podcast. You can even go to www.hungupodcast.com. And that'll take you to all of my content. This was really dope, and I really enjoyed it. And I hope it's not my last time kicking it with y'all. No. This was fun.
It was fun. Thank you so much for joining us. And you can follow me at Jared D. King on Twitter and Instagram. Marcus, why don't you let us know where they can follow you, and then Brandon.
Loose as a deuce.
Just call me Otis.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Why don't we raise a glass? I don't have anything in this glass. I'm going to have to refill my sparkling water champagne. Mm-hmm. So until next time, be careful what you say, because the boys will brunch. Take care.